The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Goodwill people who really want to do God's will now suddenly are having to deal with something that neither one of them really want to deal with.
Next on Life Today, author and relationship expert Emerson Eckerich explores the challenges that James and Betty had in their marriage.
I realized he wasn't my enemy and I wasn't his enemy, that we were a couple.
All these things could have totally destroyed our life. But for one thing, we're crying out to God.
Building a relationship on love and respect. Next.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And we are talking about lust and fear and insecurity and jealousy, and we talk about it openly in Living in Love. I don't know what you say to help people understand how serious you are about it, but I wish every couple in America read the book. This isn't just a journey that we had. I mean, it is in many ways part of our life story, but it's our life together. And the journey continues. It's how it can work, how it is working, and it's all the things that can tear a relationship apart. And I feel like the enemy threw every curveball, every fastball, everything he could throw at us to tear us up. And he really hates. Let me tell you something. The enemy hates the purpose of God in your life. And God's purpose in your life is for you to be full of life. He's given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. And we don't have life without godliness. And if we have godliness, we have sensitivity and understanding. But as we walk in godliness, needing to wear the whole armor of God, because we're warring against principalities and powers of darkness in the hidden invisible realm, affecting everything in the visible realm, we're in a battle. So why would you need to wear an armor? Why would you need the breastplate and the helmet? Why would we need something to help us take thoughts captive and know that the weapons of our warfare are not merely fleshly and physical enabling our intellect, but we need divine power, supernatural enabling to deal with very real natural appetites and problems. If we've got to have this power, that must mean this enemy is huge. And so we talk about the real conflict. We also talk about the invisible force. Dr. Emerson Eckerich is with us. He is the head of Love and Respect Ministry. This is the new book on marriage about love and respect. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's in many ways like a gift book, but it's just filled with great statements and truths. Fantastic. And he spends his life, he and his wife, working with couples, understanding love and respect and what that really means. And he was so... I think he said, moved by the openness in our relationship as highly visible, quote, ministry people and Christian people, that we would open up. And he saw it as something so necessary, he wanted to talk to us. In the last program, we were talking about lust and fear and jealousy. And I'm telling you, had God not showed us what to do and who to go to and how to deal with it, finished, curtains. And listen, let me tell you something. There's nothing too big for God. No challenge, no problem. Well, Emerson wanted to talk to us some more about it. We're going to continue the discussion. Welcome, Emerson Eckerich, back to Life Today. Good to see you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Well, you know, when I got ready to open, I said we're cutting to the chase. I'm handing the book back to
That's
you.
Right.
You've referenced it. But we were in the last program talking about how a woman feels when she finds that her husband's distracted or unduly, unhealthily attracted to something. It's hard for women to understand just how totally awesome you are. I'm telling you, now you got the goods. I mean, you know what I mean? And it's just, the deal is, you all are the coolest thing to us God ever made. And I know a lot of it's on display. Sex is real. We're very visual. We notice. I know you're sensitive. You know, I rub Betty's feet at night. She says, I just love it, the attention. And then she goes to sleep. And I said, well, I'm over here loving her. And she just, I put myself right out of the business, blow myself out of the tub over here just being so. See, well, you need to understand that this deal is real. And for men, this thing is real. And you could see it. I didn't have to just tell you I had unhealthy attraction the wrong way.
No, I can see it. I can feel it. I can feel the I don't know. I guess I don't know anything else. It was a spirit, and just like my fear was a spirit of fear. But I think one thing that helped us was when we came to a point that we realized both of us, his problem was, it wasn't his problem, it was our problem. My problem was our problem. And not let the enemy pit us against one another. We had a challenge here as a couple that we could allow God to work in our lives together and work through this and make a richer, more loving relationship.
Well, you've been saying a lot since the show opened, Emerson.
That's right.
What we're actually doing is we're bringing all the viewers up to speed where we were when we left the last program. And you can always go online and backtrack and say, what were you talking about yesterday? But this basically is pretty well where we left off.
Yes, and it's a significant issue. And as we pointed out, the fear that a woman feels in this, because she feels powerless. She doesn't know what to do. He's seeking to be honest, a godly man, to reveal something, which in many cases for man is more on the surface. He doesn't necessarily be addicted. It's like the first year of marriage, he comes home to his wife and she wants him to go to the mall. He says, I don't know if I really want to go to the mall. That Victoria's Secret is there and the displays and different things. What? Are you lusting for women? Is there a problem? Is there something wrong with you? And suddenly...
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you would say, but most men suddenly realize, whoa, it was an innocent comment made just because my best friend, I wanted to know that I was affected by that, but suddenly there's this response that he feels ashamed. And of course, she's not asking questions to shame him. Mm-hmm. She's insecure about that. She's a little fearful. And so you have this huge misunderstanding. And then, of course, her fear is there. Now he's afraid. Mm-hmm. And so you have two good-willed people who really want to do God's will, now suddenly are having to deal with something that neither one of them really want to deal with. And he's not the enemy, he's the victim of the enemy. And yet there is suddenly this sense that they can't talk about the elephant in the room. But the two of you came to a point where you said, look, it's not just his issue, it's just not my issue, we're in this as a team. Mm-hmm. Talk to us more about how you did that, because many couples are fearful right now. The man may say, you know what, Emerson's right, James is right, I have this at moments, but I feel if I were to broach that with you, it would frighten you. It would scare you, and we've tried this in the past, but I don't know where to go with this. And of course, she's going to feel overwhelmed because she feels powerless. Talk to that woman whose husband wants to maybe broach this subject, but she is...
And I think this is where a real sensitivity toward one another, because like you said, the guy might say, this is where I am, but I'm going to deal with it, or we're going to deal with it and get over it. Well, that's easier said than done. A woman, I know myself, I wanted him to be sensitive to what this did to me.
Yes.
My hurts, my pains. And so you have to find a place there. And I think we can only do that if God's in the center.
I think it's hard for a man to understand how heavy it is for a woman to hear this and to know it's real. Mm-hmm. Why would you even notice? I mean, why do you notice? Mm-hmm. I'm not less than, like you said in the last program, I'm not lusting after men. Why do you have a problem being distracted? You know, I kind of spit it out a while ago. Yes, something wrong. Well, the fact is, the notice, the attraction, the beauty of women that we do notice and are attracted to, that's not something wrong with us. This is the norm. And I think that we've got to understand that men are visually attracted. We notice beauty, but as I said in the last program, so do women. And the problem of comparing starts with the woman and the man. And it's really wrong. It's despicable for a man to ever let his wife believe for one moment he's comparing her to others, because she's already fighting that battle. And you can't keep up with all the world throws at you. And no one's going to be able to keep up with all the sexual images and all that the world throws at us to try to feed our appetites and to stir our sensual appetites and desires. That fire that burns, the love... The only thing overcoming is a real legitimate relationship where you really love one another and you really come together in true intimacy and true fulfillment. But man, the world is messing with this. Emerson, we've got to be able to open up and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And we really need to be able to go to a safe haven of the church family and to one another. Now, I'm just telling you, Betty and I found safety in this relationship. Mm-hmm. I did convince her I wasn't some kind of freak. I said, don't tell me, don't give me a dirty old man syndrome. Yeah. I'm not a dirty old man. I'm a dirty young man. Don't give me all that. I'm saying this is just natural, and the fact is I'm not dirty. I am distracted. I am unhealthily attracted, and this thing's fed by the enemy. And I said, I don't like it. It became like a fire in my mind. I said, Betty, I'm on fire. I want to deal with it. See, this is total honesty, but now if she is slamming the door on me, let me tell you what will happen. That jealousy, which she did have it, she could have slammed, she's being threatened, it'll drive you towards someone else that'll say, I understand. Mm-hmm. Well, I just am attracted to you. And let me tell you, stronger than sex is when a man knows he's been desired. Being desired. Being desired. And when you're a strong Christian and you're a sensitive man and you appear to be a caring leader, that's attractive to many women who never had a caring, loving father in place. Their own husband doesn't know how to express that. And this is why a lot of preachers and a lot of ministers get in trouble. They don't intend wrong. It's bigger than sex. It's more than that. So much begins to happen. Well, all these things could have totally destroyed our life. But for one thing, we're crying out to God. We're crying out to one another and together. I'm holding her hand. Betty, pray for me. My brain's on fire. It's like a claw in my brain. And this precious wife did not beat me down or shame me. She prayed for me. And then as I found freedom, she realized she had a spirit of fear and a spirit of intimidation and insecurity. And I'm going to tell you, God did a great healing in our relationship. And does that mean the battle's over? No. But I'm telling you, this is the start. If everyone in this studio, if everyone listening to us could somehow, and I don't really know how you even get the discussion started. Well, see, a lot of times a man wants to confess.
You get the discussion by getting the book because you set forth these principles. And in these chapters, you unpack the steps that you went through. The topic is very threatening. It creates intensity, some women in particular. But the solution here, so that you don't feel powerless, is by going through this with your husband, talking through these issues as a couple, even getting in a small group, because you set it forth discreetly. It's not done poorly. It's very well written, very to the point, and yet not descript. And yet you set forth solutions. This whole idea of coming together as a team, the idea that you met with other people outside of the relationship.
Right.
It wasn't like you came home every day.
Who weren't shamers.
That's right.
That's shamers.
But once it was kind of revealed, it was not a topic you can continue to talk to her about. You had other men in your life, but it became something you were aware of as a team.
Absolutely.
Right? It wasn't
that,
like every day he's coming home to you.
That made the big difference I realized he wasn't my enemy and I wasn't his enemy, that we were a couple. We were in a relationship together, and we were a team. And that's the way we tried to do it in every aspect of our life, with parenting, with everything that comes into our relationship.
With finances.
And the power of your example, I mean, this is just a great example. You didn't have to be revealing. You could have kept that quiet. And even if you'd shared with her, you don't have to share it with us. So I do believe the Lord is wanting to speak through you to all the men and to the women. At the same time, you capture what every woman feels in this fear. For the two of you to do what you're doing right now is a great gift to us and gives us that hope. This has to be recognized in the church, as you're pointing out. And what you're doing right now is powerful, but the solution, as we talked even earlier, people are going to think, what do I do? The solutions are here in this book, that you've stepped through how to do this, because there is a method and there is a wisdom, because this thing can blow up in your face. What would you think to say to a person who might do this inappropriately? What are some landmines? What are some landmines that they got to avoid?
I think when you, early in the book, talk about the necessary act of confronting one another and conflict resolution, not insulation, where you just get comfort in your misery. You've got to be committed that we are not going to let the sun go down on our wrath. If we realize we're dealing with an issue, we're going to go to bed at night in our mind saying we are headed somewhere positive. We're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Betty had a hope. Our hope is in the Lord. The Lord in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's His manifest presence. That's His work. Now, listen to me. I do not believe that you're going to make it through some of these challenges without God's help. And we close the book talking about this invisible enemy. Betty had a hook in her, jerking her around with insecurity, jerking her around with fear, telling her she was dumb, telling her she wasn't pretty, all these things just at her. And I had something jerking on me, attracting me to where it burned. It burned in my mind how beautiful or what would that be like, or what is she like? And this is what kids think. And boys get in locker rooms and they talk about their experiences. Or, boy, wouldn't you like to so-and-so with her? Wouldn't you like to do this and that? Wouldn't you like this? And girls can feel this. And you should feel it. You shouldn't want it. You shouldn't want to put yourself on sensual display. You ought to want to be modest in your apparel. You don't have to dress in a sack. It's fine for the people to know you have a figure, but you just don't go flaunting it. You don't go around like you're trying to call attention unduly. So don't do that. But men will notice those that do. And when you see these things, the enemy gets a hook in your jaw like a fish and jerks on you. Listen, we found out that all our thoughts were being fed by an enemy. The Bible says they become a fiery dart of the wicked. It only becomes a fiery dart. A dart's not an arrow. It's a suggestion of the enemy. Well, you know what you could do. Well, wouldn't you like this? Well, don't you see that? Well, I bet you could do this. You begin to think these things, and the enemy is sowing those thoughts. And once they lodge, they begin to burn, just like your jealousy. Mm-hmm. You burned with jealousy. Mm-hmm. You burned with fear. It was a torment, right? Mm-hmm. And God showed us that we could break that. In Emerson, we had to come in agreement with God, mm-hmm. about who we were. Mm-hmm. Alcoholics Anonymous teaches that. Admit who you are. Let's talk openly. Any good psychologist will even tell you, even if you're not spiritual, but you're not going to get far without spiritual help. But when we got honest, and then we got honest with others, and someone came in agreement, I'm telling you, and I'm in agreement with you. I'm coming in agreement with you that your marriage and your relationship can be healed. But you're not going to get healed if you become the main stone thrower, throwing rocks, mm-hmm. and throwing arrows in concert with the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, and you start to accuse your spouse. We've got to come together and allow God to heal us, and he can. I want to ask you this, because you seem, mm-hmm. really concerned about this aspect. Mm-hmm. Now, you speak to thousands. You just spoke to over 4,000 people at, mm-hmm. Second Baptist Houston, where Dr. Ed Young is, one of the men I respect and love and a good friend. And his son pastors near here, Ed Jr. But you were just there in the church. But you go and teach. And by the way, that seminar is available. And loveandrespect.com. You can order that incredible teaching to these couples. You meet with couples. You talk to them. You hear them. Is this typical? This lust, fear, insecurity, this conflict. Is this a big issue with couples, what we're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I was so encouraged and so intrigued by the book, because you put out there on paper and articulate it very well, the issues that many couples deal with. It isn't everything everybody's dealing with, but it is an issue. And I think, again, if the Lord is going to use us as a couple, we need to deal discerningly with what you're saying. There is, after Ephesians 5, which Paul unpacks dealing with marriage, he goes into Ephesians 6, which is about the schemer and about this attack of, exactly. this invisible enemy, as Absolutely. We talk about. And in some ways, what's so sad to me is that some couples love Christ deeply. Each individual longs in their heart. Remember, Jesus said, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And in their heart of hearts, people long for God, and yet this flesh, this carnal outside, encases us, and we get attacked and tempted. But the struggle, of course, is this is an issue that's different than the women's struggles. If there may be an eating issue or a PMS, pre-murder syndrome, you know, there's a chemical imbalance. The struggles that she deals with have been put under a psychological medical model, and so she has a greater liberty to voice the things that she struggles with. The taboo topic is his struggle on the dark side, which makes him appear sinister. And so we all go quiet. We go silent. And he doesn't know what to do with this. And now, and we have to really talk about our sons. How do we want our future daughter-in-laws to treat our precious baby boys? Is there going to be a freedom as a team that you are to talk about this? Both of us talking about her issues as a team. I'm here for you, Betty, and you exemplify that. Well, I'm here for you, James. And instead of casting stones, as you say, and throwing rocks at one another, we are one, we are a team, and we are going to get through this together, rather than being freaked out and becoming insecure on the heels of another's struggle in this battle that we're in. And you set forth ways of doing that, which is so powerful in this book.
And let me just say to all the viewers, the book is available. Of course, it's in the bookstores. You know, I'll oftentimes be talking about someone else's book, and I'll say, you need to leave now, run, hitchhike, get a bicycle, get in the car, go to the bookstore, get the book. You can run, do that. We will send you the book if you just simply help us give a cup of water to a thirsty child. Now, literally. Just help us do that. And in addition to that, in line with what Emerson said, Beth Moore's Praying God's Word. Now listen to the subheading right here. It is breaking free from spiritual strongholds. This is all a part of this journey. Here is a woman who understands the torment of the enemy. If any woman understands breaking free, and if any couple, Beth and Keith, understand the frictions that Betty and I share about, and that's why she's at the very top. This is a great book written by somebody that knows what they're talking about. And she's gotten to see our relationship up close and personal. She can contribute, and we really believe that these materials are going to help you tremendously. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do, and I'm not going to be detracted from this. It's like I referenced the difference you can make. When Jesus says, I want you to think about this, if you'll just give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. What kind of reward are you talking about? Heaven's blessing. All that God has for you. And by the way, that's on your marriage too. And Betty and I really did see that together when we see it. I want to ask you to consider giving a cup of water. Would you help us drill some freshwater wells and give children and their families fresh water? That's what we've been seeking to give you for your relationship. I want you to watch this and see if you can help. Well, I can tell you what I want to do when I see that child holding the cup out. I want to put the clean water in that cup. How could you not have a vivid image of if you give just a cup of water, in my name, you won't lose your reward? Let's leave the reward part up to the one who does the rewarding. Let's leave it up to God. Let's leave the timing and the what up to God. I'm telling you, it's reward enough to me just to know I did the will of God, I shared the love of God, and I gave someone clean water. So what we're asking you to do, and we come to you during a Water for Life emphasis, we're asking you to help us drill over 400 water wells, 415, 15 nations. You say, how do you locate the areas? The missionaries bring us the area of need. They find it. How do they find the area of need? They find people in need. They find children in need. They find where contaminated water has led to horrific, deadly disease. Would you help us drill those wells? Simply dial the number that's there on the screen. Take your bank card and use it like a check. If you can give a water well or you write a check, boy, what a joy. And Betty and I have the joy of doing this because we asked God to enable us to do it, and we committed to do it before we knew we'd be able to do it. We committed, God, we believe you want us to do it. And he has met that need, and he's blessed because we're giving not only a cup of water, but a well, $4,800. Write that. Call us and tell us we're putting it in the mail. Or call the number, take your bank card and use it like a check, or you can go lifetoday.org. And you can give online. Thank God many of you do that. That's immediate. But would you please prayerfully consider what you can do and then do it? If you could give $48, you'll give literally 10 people water for the rest of their life. $144, you give 30 people water the rest of their life. Here's what we're doing for you. Just to say thank you, we're sending you the book, Living in Love, which is our marriage journey. 50 years in love, and I'm telling you, more wonderful today than one could ever imagine. And Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word, that's for any gift. My daughter, Robin, gave me this book when I was fighting staph infection. This is a journal, a leather journal I began to carry it everywhere. I called her. I said, Robin, you realize what that meant for me when I carry that now and I write what God puts on my heart? She said, Daddy, God told me to give you that. Well, God's impressed us to give it to you to say thanks. If you'll simply make a gift of $100 or more, we'll send you both books and the journal. And then remember the beautiful, real beautiful bronze, the heart of the Father. I'd love to send that to you if you just help us drill those wells. Father, I pray everyone watching will simply do what they can, and I thank you for it. Would you make that call? Please do. You can give a cup of water or perhaps even a well of water. Whatever you can do, we're asking you to share.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease, and once ingested can lead to death. But one new water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your donation today, Mission Water for Life can drill 415 water wells this year in 15 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any size, we'll send you Living in Love, James and Betty's new book that shares keys to an exciting and fulfilling marriage. You'll also receive Beth Moore's best-selling book, Praying God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to record and reflect on your own personal times with God. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture representing God's fatherly love for us as His children. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you, and we will be sending Living in Love. If you happen to have already gotten the book in one of the bookstores or bought it online, this may be one you want to give to a special couple. Praying God's Word. Beth teaches so wonderfully on this fantastic, fantastic book. I want to thank Emerson Eggerich for Love and Respect for a Lifetime. Boy, that's what we talk about. He's going to be back with us. We're going to continue talking about the subjects that are of interest to you and meaningful. Would you say thanks to Emerson for being with us? Emerson, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for watching. We really do appreciate your friendship and your help. Encourage other couples to watch the next program. I want to remind you, this is the last week in our Mission Water for Life emphasis. We do need to hear from you, and I'd like to hear from you today.
Tomorrow, Women of Faith speaker and author Lisa Harper.
I tell people I'm not fixed, but I'm freer than I ever dreamt that I could be.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.